The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Pep Talks. I'm James Pepe. Thanks for tuning in. You know, one of the things I've said from the start about this show is that I want you to not be fearful about stuff. And we try to lead by example here at Pep Talks. So we're going to talk about some really controversial issues. In fact, they're the kind of issues that might turn some of you off, make you mad even. And I hope that that won't make you go away. It's sort of fundamental to the nature of this show that I'm going to piss off everybody at one point or another. My hope is that we can have civil discussions between ourselves and among our friends and family and whatnot. And that's part of my goal at Pep Talks, is to try to help people sort of get away from all of this anger and animosity and inability to have civil disagreements and discussions about issues that are important to us in our everyday lives. So again, in the spirit of trying to lead by example, we're going to tackle some of the really hard, controversial issues. As I've said from the beginning, try to be plain spoken and putting them into really clear, simple English so that they're easy to understand. And again, as I've said before, I think the solutions aren't all that difficult. Simple, even. Not easy to implement. Not easy in the way our country is set up and everything. But simple to understand and to maybe hopefully kind of move us in a direction where we're coming more and more together instead of apart all the time and moving towards those kinds of solutions. Again, join me in being unafraid to tackle these difficult issues and being, you know, comfortable if in fact you disagree, but also I hope being open-minded as I try to be to the arguments that are being made and to maybe being willing from time to time to change your mind, you know, grow. Even acknowledge from time to time that you're wrong. Fortunately, I've never had to do that, so I don't know what that's like. Just kidding. But be that kind of person. And like I said, I think that you'll find that that's a better way to approach things. So on today's show, in that spirit, you know, something that's not controversial at all, we're going to talk about abortion. Are you for it? Are you against it? You know, it's kind of like America First, now that I think about it. Very few people are for abortion, right? Very few people like the idea of it. Very few people like the idea of a woman not having control over her reproductive health. But certainly there are people who feel strongly on either extreme. Certainly there are people who believe firmly and fundamentally, and God love them, that a baby is a baby, a human baby, from the moment it's conceived. And there are others who are willing to kind of look at that and to not really think that or believe that, allow themselves to believe that, you know, until the cord is cut. Up until then, it's just a part of the mother as its host, so to speak. I suspect that most of us fall somewhere in between. Now, one of the things I'm not going to do with this show is to get into a lot of religious stuff. I have respect, nothing but respect, for people who have their firm, devout, faithful, and consistent religious beliefs, and more power to you, for sure. But in our nation, I also have the same amount of respect for people who have no religious beliefs. This country is as much theirs as it is yours. Everybody has an equal say in the way things go in this country. And the fact of the matter is that resolving issues like abortion, if they're ever to be resolved, means that there has to be give and take on all sides. It's just as simple as that. And this is an issue that I come at very sort of pragmatically. At the heart of it is this idea of what constitutes a human life. And by that, what I mean isn't even, it's not even a medical question or a religious question or a scientific question, right? We know biologically that life begins when a cell begins to sort of divide itself and grow, right? That's life. And most of us, I think, if pushed really hard, would probably say that if it's a human cell dividing, that must mean it's a human bite. But I think there has to be a political answer. And by that, what I mean when I say political answer, which might, as a term, turn you off a little bit, it is that what constitutes a human life, and by that I mean a life that is deserving, that has inherently constitutional protections, we have to decide that. We decided that wrongly in the beginning when it came to Black folks, ill, three-fifths and all that stuff. It's just dumb. But it was a political determination. And what life is today such that it gets, deserves, has constitutional protections, that is for us to decide as a country. And it doesn't necessarily end up being scientific. It doesn't necessarily end up being medical. It doesn't have to be religious. It can be whatever we as Americans want. Now, I know, again, because of the nature of the issue itself, this is the kind of thing that you might already find yourself strongly disagreeing. You might think a human life is a human life, and that's all there is to it, period. And you're free to believe that. But that gets us nowhere. And there are implications for that belief, practical implications in terms of the way we live. Think of it like this. Think of it like this. If we as a country should decide fundamentally, firmly, and forevermore that human life begins at conception, not only would we then open the door to regulating the treatment of that human life, we would be obliged, morally obliged, required to take care of that dividing cell, that just fertilized and growing cell, the human being, to protect that the same way, the exact same way that we protect your toddler, the average toddler. And that's a lot of potential implications, most of which sort of fall into a Orwellian sort of notion or concept, right? Of Big Brother, the government looking out for the welfare of that human being that is still 9 months away from full gestation and birth. Think about it in terms of the laws that we have that most of us agree on when it comes to child welfare and endangerment and child abuse. Think about that. And how far would you be willing to go to protect that growing mass of cells that we call a human child, a human being? How far would you be willing to go to protect that from mistreatment by its host mother, right? How far would you go? Now, there's a lot of social stigma, understandably so, around the idea that not long ago didn't really exist, but that women, pregnant women, ought not to smoke or drink alcohol. I'm the ninth of 12 kids, and I'm pretty sure my mother smoked during pregnancy for all of us. She wasn't a big drinker, but I think she maybe may have smoked because she was a big smoker, as were most people of that generation, by the way. But think about that in today's context and ask yourself, given today's attitudes towards that, would a woman who's just newly pregnant, would she be at risk of being criminalized if she didn't take certain steps while she's pregnant to protect that growing fetus? If she smoked or drank, but let's not even go to that degree of obviousness. Because you could say if she smokes or drinks while she's pregnant, she's committing child abuse. But what about if she just consumes too much sugar or anything in her diet that would be bad for a growing fetus that we determined? Would that be child abuse? What if she participated in certain kinds of physical activities that might be strenuous, maybe even to an extent, according to some doctors, that might be potentially harmful to that growing fetus? Would she be guilty of child abuse? And if any of those things were true, and more, I can give you a million examples, and I'm sure you can think of them yourself. But any of those things were true, at what point do you take legal action against that woman? And then what do? She's guilty of endangering her unborn child. And so what, you're going to put her in jail? Are we going to create, as I said, Orwellian sort of birthing centers where maybe women who have shown that they can't be trusted to take care of that growing fetus, and then that they're going to be incarcerated for 9 months and under careful, close watch and supervision so that they can't do anything that might be harmful to that developing human being? And we're going to have these birthing centers all over America because we don't trust, or again, lots of women have shown themselves that they can't be trusted to physically look after that baby in that critical phase of gestation inside their womb. We're going to do that, right? How far do we go? And by the way, a lot has been made, and I think rightly so, of the fact that too many of us seem to care an awful lot about the welfare of unborn babies compared to our too oftentimes dismissive attitude towards the welfare of those children after they've been born. And so as a society, we need to ask ourselves about those things too. Now, the flip side to all this is looking at that fetus when it's first conceived as a mass of dividing cells and say, well, maybe it's not a human life. I mean, maybe it's clearly life, right? But maybe we don't see it as human life. Maybe when it's just a bunch of cells growing, for sure, maybe it hasn't gotten to the point where it's, you know, entitled to constitutional protections. And again, I'm being very practical here. I'm sorry. Again, if your religious beliefs teach you that there's no two ways about it, I get that. But again, not everybody feels the same way or shares the same religion. And this country is as much theirs as the next person's. And as I said, as a practical matter, can you imagine a country like the one I just described, an Orwellian country with birthing centers that protect unborn fetuses from mistreatment by their neglectful mothers? Are you open to that? And all of the questions that flow from that. Let's talk for a second about Roe v. Wade, the constitutional decision that was overturned recently that for 50 years, gave women the right to abortion. By the way, this episode very much touches on the Constitution, how we look at the Constitution, how we enforce the Constitution, and ultimately how we keep or change the Constitution. So keep that in mind as we discuss this. But when Roe v. Wade determined that women had a constitutional right to abortion, I'm one of these people who thought that was a mistake. Not based on my beliefs about abortion per se, but the way I look at the Constitution and the way I believe the Constitution is what it says it is. And it says nothing about abortion. That court derived the constitutional right to an abortion from a perception that the Constitution provided for individual personal privacy in a way that encompassed the ability to have an abortion. I don't see that. I do see this. I do believe that the Constitution is predicated on privacy, but not to the extent that you can just assume stuff. I think that that is the value at the heart of the Constitution. But what I think happened was that that court looked at this very divisive, difficult problem and felt compelled to try to solve it in a way that really should have been solved by the people and or the Congress. So I think they overstepped. And that's why I was against Roe v. Wade as a matter of a constitutional sort of provision. But I do think that the court had the right idea. I do think that as a practical matter for our country to get along, if you will, to recognize the very passionate differences on both sides of this thing, and in the middle, frankly, that's where you need to end up, is somewhere in the middle. So probably in the end, we need to have some kind of understanding among ourselves that both a woman and an unborn fetus have certain, at some point, have rights under the Constitution and that need to be respected. That the woman's right to control her reproductive health has to be respected, at least to a fair point, and to a point where you have to sort of concede that that growing fetus inside her is a human being that also has rights under the Constitution. You know, one of the things I've always sort of bristled against with respect to the pro-choice side of this debate, the women's rights side of the debate, is that it's a woman's right to control her own body. No argument here, for sure. But that always seems to sidestep this issue that never gets talked about nearly enough, and nobody ever seems to want to press the pro-choice advocate on this point, which is, what about the fact that it's not just her body, right? At some point, while it's still inside her, that fetus is a baby. Almost nobody thinks that a baby isn't a baby 5 minutes before it's born, right? Yes, it's still inside the mother's body, but it's its own self. It's its own thing. And it's its own thing more than 5 minutes before it's born. And again, this is where the pro-life folks can have a real argument that it's its own thing at conception, right? You can have that argument. My counter to that, again, isn't so much that it's wrong. It's just that it's not very practical. There's no way we can construct a society, I think, that treats unborn, newly conceived unborn fetuses as human beings with all the protections that the rest of us have. It just doesn't work. And I hope people can understand and see that. But it's also the case that at some point, as that baby has developed, a woman's ability to say that that is not a baby and I can do whatever I want, it's part of my body, that's hard to hold water to. So if you ask me, I suspect as a practical matter that we need to have an amendment to the Constitution that defines human life as something sort of right down the middle. The Supreme Court said in Roe v. Wade, said 26 weeks, said that's when they thought at that time, that this was the early 70s, that that's when an unborn fetus was viable, could live outside the mother. And they used that as the best sort of benchmark that they could come up with, this sort of reference point to determine, to just delineate, this is when it's a human being that gets constitutional protection. Again, I support what they were trying to do. I think they went about it the wrong way. I think it wasn't for the Supreme Court to be the ones to do that. I think that's our job. And I think it's a job that we should do directly or through our representatives in Congress and do it in the form of a constitutional right. And by the way, while we're at it, I'll dedicate one or more future episodes to this specifically because I think, again, they're right. It does fall into this idea of privacy. And I believe privacy deserves to be more specifically fleshed out in the Constitution. I'd love to see a constitutional amendment about our right to personal privacy. And I think there are so many interesting ways to look at that. And we're going to talk about that in the future Pep Talks episodes. But we need to get into the Constitution and we need to be more clear about when we believe, as a practical matter, as a society, that human life begins such that we're willing to give it constitutional protections. And I don't think that's going to be at conception, but I also don't think it's going to be, you know, after it's out of the womb, breathing air. It's someplace in between. And I suspect it's somewhere down the middle, right? Woman has to have a reasonable opportunity to terminate an unwanted pregnancy for any reason. And then a baby has to have an opportunity to be born and live at a certain point during that gestational period. I do believe that there needs to be reasonable exceptions when a pregnancy threatens a woman's life and so forth, when things go terribly wrong or other specific sort of instances in a pregnancy where even after that point of personhood, if you will, that a woman should have a right to terminate a troubled pregnancy. So I believe in all of that. And I think that you do too. And I think this is as difficult and controversial a subject as this is, where people are so passionate about it. I think most of us sense that. Most of us feel that way. And we want that sort of practical compromise about things. Now, I will admit it's very, very difficult because it's hard to, in your heart, believe that that might be a human being, a baby that is being aborted in the first half of a pregnancy under any circumstances. It's hard to be empathetic, compassionate human beings and not look upon that as a terribly unfortunate reality. But we also have to look at our mothers and wives and sisters and daughters and recognize that to treat them like nothing more than birthing pods that will inevitably end up in Orwellian birthing centers for the protection of those unborn babies that they're not, in many instances, careful enough to treat well, we can't turn our society into that either. One of the things that we're going to do at Pep Talks, and I'm going to roll this out down the road a little ways, but stay tuned for it, is we're going to talk about the need for a constitutional convention of American citizens to address issues like this, issues that were not, for one reason or another, clearly spelled out in the original Constitution, and which we continue to have these very passionate fights over now about what did the founders mean. It's our turn as this generation, 250 years later, to step in and have to clarify some of these things in the Constitution using modern methods and technologies so that what we want as a society, what we want, by the way, Jefferson was very clear about this in all of his writings, that America should be whatever Americans want it to be at any given time. So it's our turn to clarify some of these things and to say, in this case, this is what it means to be a human being with constitutional protections. And this is how we're going to balance the rights of women with the rights of unborn humans. It's up to us to decide that. We should have a year-long discussion about it. We should have that process of give and take, find that happy medium that most Americans can accept. Nobody will be thrilled with, probably, but it'll be the best that we can do, and it'll be the answer. It won't be perfect, just like our democracy, just like humanity itself. It won't be perfect, but it'll be the best that we can do, and it'll be clear for all time going forward after that about this is what America stands for when it comes to the protection of human life and of human liberty and the rights of women and so forth. We need to do that. Like I said, difficult, passions flaring on all sides, but it's just long overdue. And that's the answer. People keep saying that we'll never resolve this thing. We can't. We can resolve it in the context of what we're going to allow or not allow in our country. We can be really clear about it. We can put it in the Constitution, and there'll be no more argument after that. Sure, other people will come along later on, and they'll say, well, we want to change the Constitution again because we think it should be this or that or the other thing. Well, good luck. But I suspect that if we can go through a year-long process where we have an all-out discussion, put it all on our table, put our civil disagreements out there, and find the compromise that America is all about, that movements in the subsequent years to have another go at it because some people didn't get it the way they wanted it to be, I think those will fall on deaf ears. Most of us, the vast majority of us, will be able to say, look, we already did that. We had that conversation. We had it recently. We had it in our lifetime. We don't need to go back and revisit that. If things change significantly in the future, if the attitudes and mentalities change significantly in the future, if the circumstances, technologies, knowledge, whatever changes in the future, then you can revisit that in 100 years. But we've settled that for now. And sometimes that's the best we can do. And I think we ought to do that. We ought to do that, by the way, again, for a host of other issues, whether it's gun control or, as I said, personal privacy issues or a number of other things that I think that we need to update the Constitution for 2025 and beyond so we can get out of some of that colonial language and disputes about meaning from a bunch of guys who could only ever write it down in the Federalist Papers, could only ever write it down in their language of the day. Let's have those discussions right here on YouTube, virtually for everybody to engage in and to hash out all the questions and the controversies such that in the future, we won't have to depend on the Supreme Court trying to get in the minds of the founders to figure out what they meant, right? Because they'll have it from you and me on video so that it's really clear what we meant. And we can stop having some of these debates, these costly and really destructive fights in our politics every day, in the back and forth, the pendulum swinging from one extreme to the other about what it means and what we should have and who wins and who loses and all that stuff. It's time to resolve some of these issues so that we can, again, get back to the business of focusing on our everyday lives, how to make those lives better, how to maximize our freedom to pursue happiness in the way that makes sense for all of us in our everyday lives. That's where I'm coming from. I'm so anxious to hear what you have to say. Because again, I understand the passions and I understand the arguments and I'm sympathetic to it all. But it's time we move forward on some of these things. And it's up to us to settle. And it's not a fun prospect, but it needs to be done. So what say you? What do you think about abortion? What do you think about the process of resolving these things? How do you think we can come together as a country and move forward beyond this and similar issues of the day? Leave your comments below. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button and share with all your friends, please. I'm anxious to get a lot of people engaged in these kinds of discussions because that's what Pep Talks is all about, right? And it's, as I said from the very beginning, it's hopeful and it's optimistic. We deal with very difficult issues like this in common sense, I hope, a reasonable, regular sort of American English, and hope that you can see that as well. And I think you do. I like to think, as I've said before, that I'm a regular American who I think is sort of in line most of the time with most of us, as opposed to the extremes who are the all or nothing folks. Sorry, guys, this country is about the majority. And the vast majority of us aren't in either extreme, and we want to see some compromise. And if we can't compromise on issues like abortion, boy, we're just going to continue to have these really passionate and destructive conflicts, and that takes away from our ability to do other things to make our lives better. So that's where I'm coming from. Let me know what you think, and be sure to keep coming back for more week after week. I'm grateful and thankful for your consideration and your attention, as always, and I look forward to our next chance to chat. Thanks, everybody.